of heaven call me to mansions bright across the sea.
Let's sing it now, church. Oh, this house of flesh, it's but a prison, bars of bones, they hold my soul,
but the doors of clay.
Yes, sir.
My spirit free.
I'm gonna take my flight like a mighty eagle with the heels of gold. Start calling me.
See loved ones over yonder.
Oh, yes, we do.
Their tears are gone.
Oh, their tears are gone.
And their hearts are free.
They've been set free.
And from the throne,
yes, Lord,
my Savior beckons.
Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I want to ask you one question. I want you to tell me the truth. Did we have church here last night? Did we have church here last night? Amen. Amen. Well, we just appreciate the blessings of the Lord. And Brother David said last night, when you get in that presence, my goodness, you just want to stay there for as long as you can. But I tell you what, we're just so thankful for the blessings of the Lord and His presence. His word is so precious. And I can see why the devil didn't want that message preached last night. I wouldn't have wanted it preached either if I'd have been the devil. But I'm so glad that I believe a lot of folks got set free here last night. I believe a lot of folks got help for their soul here last night. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request this morning. If you don't care to stand with me just for a few minutes, an unspoken prayer request for Sarah Ellis and her husband. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Brother Abe Dyke sends this in to please pray for Susan Gunter from Texas. She lost her mother about 6 months ago. Very bitter toward the Lord, trying to figure it all out and understand it. And Satan's just adding fuel to the fire. So just pray that the Lord would give her peace in her heart and pray for her family during this time. I want to pray for Sister Carol Reagan's sister Sharon, very weak after her last chemo treatment. Continue to remember her in prayer. So let's remember that need this morning. Here's a request turned in without a name, but it says to remember their grandson. Whatever that problem is, we're just committed unto the Lord. Brother Elmer sends this in to please pray for my cousin Virgie Adams having eye problems. So let's remember that this morning. Pat Short's brother-in-law had a heart attack this morning. Carlos O'Queen, please continue to pray for her mother. Also, she is near death, so that family is just going through some difficult times right now, but we know that God's able to help them, and we just commit them unto the Lord as we pray today. Here's an unspoken prayer request for Jim Baggett. We'll commit that to the Lord this morning. Sister Sylvia Barham sends this in to please pray for Darlene Plummer. She has a spot on her liver, is scheduled for more tests this week, so we just commit that need unto the Lord. Sister Natalie is at home. I think she got home maybe late yesterday afternoon, very weak, is under health care and hospice. Please continue to pray for Brother Keith and all the family during this time, that the Lord would just be with them and help Sister Natalie. And just, will we just commit it to the hands of Almighty God? And we know what? That's the best and safest place to put it, is in the hands of the Lord. So whatever the Lord deems His will, I know we're all going to be good with that. Let me make this announcement while we're just on the subject of Sister Natalie this morning. I want to recognize her father, Brother Bill, and her brother, Brother Randy, and his wife and son. They're visiting today with us in the service. Would you raise your hand right here? Give these folks a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Certainly glad to have you in the service. All those that are visiting, may God richly bless all of you today that are visiting with us in this service. Those that are streaming, may God richly bless those that are streaming this service. Let's sing that chorus together one more time just before we pray this morning. How many of you just really glad to be in the house of God this morning? How many of you glad to be the house of the Lord this morning? This house of flesh, it's but a prison, bars of bones, they hold my soul, but the doors of clay are gonna burst wide open. We believe that with all of our heart.
When the angels say,
sir, we'll take that flight, Brother Terry.
Gonna take my flight.
Hallelujah.
Like a mighty eagle. I hear the hills of hope.
The hills of hope.
They are calling me.
I hear them. Brother Rob, come this morning. If you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we'll just commit all these things unto the Lord. Brother Rob, God bless you this morning. Let's invite His presence and commit these needs unto the Lord. Love you, buddy.
First, I want to thank the Lord. Today's my anniversary, 17 years, so I get an opportunity to thank you so much. And I want to thank God for the blessings He's given me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this opportunity to come into your presence. Lord, thank you. We had such a service last night. What a time in the Lord we had. And we're thankful. We're thankful, each one of us, Lord, knowing that you have prepared something special for us today. I pray, Lord Jesus, with these prayer requests in my hand, that we come to you and with boldness and with faith, asking that you raise our faith to the level, Lord, required that you can move in these people's lives. Lord, grant a revelation to our brothers and sisters in need, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us faithful and you living through us. That's our desire. Let us die out to ourselves that you may live through us in this service and this week, and a testimony to those that they would see you in us, I pray. Help us, Lord, be submissive to your perfect will. Have your way in the service, Lord. Thank you for the joy in our hearts. Thank you for the joy and the life in this building last night, Lord. And let it continue on as you would go ahead and complete these things in us, I pray. Help us be manifested the Messiahs on the earth, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rob. God bless you. Now, before the ushers come this morning, I want you to take a couple of minutes. I want you to go to somebody, shake their hand, tell them you're glad to see them in church today. Have a couple of minutes of fellowship, just a couple. Good to see you guys. God will make this trial a blessing. Play it while they fellowship. God will make this trial a blessing. Play it. Shake his hand for me. Say, bless you, love you, baby. Play the song. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief.
No need to get discouraged, no need to talk to me.
God will make this trial a blessing,
and the whole wide world will see.
Just came into a valley,
one like I've never been before.
I keep searching for a way out. Seems like padlocks are on the doors. Oh, there must be another sunrise, another sunset that I'll see. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love He has for me.
God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief.
There's no need to get discouraged, no need to talk to me.
Oh, God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see.
I was not the first one to come into this place. You see, every child of God, these tests we must face. It is here that God will mold you,
make you what you ought to be.
God will make
all sing, church.
That's the love He has for me.
God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief.
There's no need to get discouraged, no need to talk to me.
God will make this trial.
sing, and the whole wide world will sing. Sing it now, buddy.
Now I'm standing on the mountain, looking back, I can see.
Hallelujah.
I was in my lowest valley, His strong hand was leading me. Oh, it's good to see the sunshine and to taste sweet victory. God has made this trial a blessing.
Oh, love he has for me. God will make this trial a blessing.
The Lord sends me to my knees.
Oh, my tears flow like a river, getting Him there sweet relief.
There's no need to get discouraged, no need to talk defeat.
God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. There's no need.
There's no need to get discouraged, no need to talk defeat. God will make your trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see.
They will see. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You're just singing so good this morning. I'm a good notion to have you sing one more. Would you like to sing one more? Raise your hand if you'd like to sing one more. Well, the rest of you, I hope you enjoy our concert. How many of you are going to help us sing one more song together this morning? I sure appreciate your participation in these services. Because I tell you what, if it's just me and him, it'd be all right if it's just him. But when I help him, it brings the quality of the song way down. So let's all join in and help him together. You going to do that? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say I thank you, Jesus. Give him another big hand clap of praise if you love him. Let's do a little bit of Running My Last Mile Home. Let's do just a little bit of that Running My Last Mile Home song. You want to? Okay, sing it.
When I come to the end of my journey, live my lifetime for this day alone.
Yes, Lord.
Well, I just saw the light and I'm getting a little bit anxious. I started out walking but running my last mile home. Yes, I started out walking but running my last mile home.
Oh, so ring the bell, blow the horn. Shout hallelujah, Jordan, roll on back, let me through. Angels, take me to the throne.
And David, play the prettiest music.
Well, I'm a weary pilgrim running the last mile.
On my journey, never once has my God led me wrong.
The deserts and the valleys lie behind me.
The road ahead's straight and I'm running the last mile home. Yes, I started out walking but running the last mile home.
So ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah.
Voices, they're singing a new song I've never heard before.
Bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. Have a couple of songs. Brother David Swanson and his sisters are going to be giving us a song at this time. If they'll come onto the platform, Brother David, ever how you have that arranged this morning. Also, Brother Brandon is here and going to give us a song after they sing this morning. Brother Brandon, if you'll come onto the platform this morning, certainly appreciate Brother David. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Sister, God bless you.
A sparrow that could no longer fly. He brushed off its wounds and then watched it soar into the sky. If he's mindful of creation on this I can depend. I am his child and I can place all my trust in him. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. Strong tower, the strength in my weakest hour. I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me. I have prayed some prayers and felt they never were heard. But I held to God's hand and kept right on trusting in His word. agree. But I lean on His will, for He always knows what's best for me. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my needs.
He is my strong.
Thankful for His care, aren't you?
I start the day and open up Your pages, searching for Your truth. In anticipation, I await revelation of who I am in You. Quicken Your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in You, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken Your word to me, O Lord. End of the day when all is tucked away, then the Spirit often speaks, bringing to life from the heart to the mind, the Word inside of me. Quicken Your Word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in You, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken Your Word to me, O Lord. In Your word I know who I am. In Your word I see. Before time I was in You. Forever is my destiny. Quicken Your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in You, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken Your word to me, O Lord. Quicken Your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in You, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken Your word to me, O Lord. At the end of the day when all is tucked away, then the Spirit often speaks, bringing to life from my heart to the mind, the word inside of me. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in you, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. In your word I know who I am. In your word I see. Destiny. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in you, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Yes, quicken your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in you, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken your word to me, O
Lord. Amen. Did you enjoy our singing this morning? Amen. Certainly was good. Brother David, God bless you. It's wonderful. Brother Brandon, God bless you. Well, we just appreciate talent and being given over to the Lord and just letting Him bless His people with it, don't we? Amen. The ministry has certainly been a blessing to this local assembly, from the pastor, starting with our pastor and filtering right on down through these brothers that have stood in and preached. Brother Terry, Brother Joe, Brother David, Brother Darrell, and Brother Joel. And Lord, I'll leave somebody out, sure as the world. But all of our brethren that's just working under the canopy of the message of the hour, the truth of the hour. I appreciate it with all of my heart. I certainly do. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a little song this morning. I guess is Brother David preaching again this morning? All right. Let's sing a song, get him ready to go out here this morning. We're working on a building. It's a Holy Ghost building. Aren't you glad you get took to the potter's house every now and then? He molds you and shapes you exactly the way He wants you to be. Amen. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord.
If I were a sinner, I'd tell you what I would do.
Well, I'd
quit all my sinning and start working on a building.
I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord.
If I were a preacher, I'd tell you what I would do. And I work on a building.
Oh, I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. Yes, my Lord, yes, my Lord.
I'm just glad He's working on me. I need Him every single day of my life. Amen. Sometimes I put boards up and they're crooked. He has to take them down and keep working on us. One day He'll take us home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our hearts have been bowed. Brother Donnie's contacted us and just told ask us to greet the church for him. So he's there in a meeting. So let's just pray for him this morning. The Lord will just help him and encourage him. He's out trying to be a blessing to the body of Christ. So let's just pray for our brother. The Lord will just move into service. And let's pray here for the service. Just Lord to help us this morning. He knows what we have need of. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for giving us this opportunity to be able to come here, Lord, into your presence. Father, we are many like that whale that when the angel would move down upon the water and steer the water. Lord, we're like the water. We need you to move down upon us, Lord. And may you come and steer the water this morning. You see every heart, every life that's represented, Lord, this morning. And Father, you know the very needs on every heart. We are asking, Lord, that you would come and may you just encourage us by your word. Lord, if we're down, we pray that you'd pick us up, Lord. And we ask that you'd take your word, Lord. And may you speak something to our hearts, Lord. Something that'd be edifying, Lord. Something that'd be benefiting to our needs, Lord. You're always perfect and you're always on time. And you know just what to say and how to say it and when it needs to be said. So I ask now, Lord, may we be ready to receive what you'd have. Help me now to be able to yield to you, Lord. You see, Father, I'm no preacher. I'm just a man, dear God. Unless you come into this service this morning, it'll be a mess. But if I can yield myself to you, and this church can yield themselves to you, you can come and do things that David Siler knows nothing about. May you grant it, we pray this morning in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. 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 If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to the scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, we'll start at verse 1, and we'd like to read down to verse 8 this morning. The Lord will help us. Amen. Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I had a bunch of Pentecostals last night. I'm telling Brother Donnie on acting like a bunch of Pentecostals. Amen. You know why I act like that? Because I am. I never went through Pentecost. I cut my teeth on message pews. So you can't say it's Pentecostal by denomination. It's Pentecost by the day of Pentecost where the Spirit of God was poured out. Amen. Brother Abraham said when you get the Holy Ghost, he said, well, however it made them act, if you get that same Holy Ghost, it'll make you act the same way. Brother, sister, I'm not ashamed of that. I thank God for it. Exactly right. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 30. We want to start at verse 1. I'll read this and we'll give you our subject and let you be seated. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Amen. I want to speak out of verse 6, and I want to use this for a subject this morning. The Lord will help us. The impact of an encourager. The impact of an encourager. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the words. You may be seated. How many needs to be encouraged from time to time? Well, we all do. Most of us that read our Bibles understand that Satan is such a being that he wants to seize the opportunity whenever he gets a chance to. The Bible tells us that Satan is such a being, he's like a roaring lion going forth, devouring who he may. And Satan never cares who he devours. Satan never cares who he impacts, who he affects. He doesn't care if it's a family. He don't care if it's a preacher. He don't care if it's a young person. He never cares who he comes against. And we know that he seeks to gain the opportunity upon us. Especially when you're in a weak spot, when you're in a weak moment, when you're down or you're discouraged. And Abraham tells us that even whenever Jesus had went into the wilderness and Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, it was at that weak moment that Satan came to tempt him, to try to make him doubt and try to make him doubt his position. And we know that's exactly the way he's going to do you and I. He looks for those weak moments in our lives. We know that when Jesus gave the parable of how the sower went forth to sow seed, and how that right behind that whenever the good seed sower had went forth, remember Abraham tells us that immediately behind him that the enemy came in and sowed his seed. It's because the bedding ground had been prepared and now it has the opportunity to grow seed, and Satan wants to put his seed upon that good ground. And he's such an opportunist, always seeking to gain the advantage on you, always seeking to gain the advantage up on me. And now here in this scripture, we look at this setting. It's a setting of warfare. And here is David and his men, and David has been fighting for the Lord, and David had been out fighting, and here the Amalekites had came in, and they had destroyed the city of Ziklag, where David and his family, actually David's family and his men's family, where they was living at this time. And the Bible says that they burnt the city by fire. Now, I'll just tell you, the enemy don't care that these are just women and children. And I'll tell you, the devil don't care if you're a woman. He don't care if you're a child. He don't care if you're an adult. Satan wants to take advantage of us anytime he gets the chance. Amen. Rather it would be a home or a family, or maybe you've been trying to break out of a slump, and maybe you've just been discouraged and you're needing some help from God. I'll just tell you, Satan's going to come against you. Amen. Whenever God's coming to do something for his children, he says somehow Satan knows it. He always tries to block the oncoming visitation. Amen. You realize here the Amalekites, they had actually taken David's wives and taken their children. And no doubt here is David and his men as they have been out fighting, and no doubt making warfare it's a tiring thing, because there's no telling, you know, how long they'll be out fighting. There's no telling how long the battle will go. So they have to make sure that when they go into the battle, they have to make sure they got strength to fight. Amen. And here these men are great men, great soldiers, and how that they had the ability to make war. And I'm sure that these men, they've seen a lot of tragedy. They've seen a lot of death. They've seen a lot of men fall on the battlefield. And the Bible says that as these men come back in, there they have been fighting. And my, how they've been not just fighting, they've been overcoming. I think God likes some overcomers, not just fighters, not just runners. It's not he that starts this race. Amen. It's he that endures and finishes until the end. There's going to be a lot of people starting this message race. But it takes somebody who is encouraged in the Lord this morning. That when everything goes wrong and it don't seem like you can do nothing right, it takes somebody that has the indwelling, the token inside their heart, to encourage them, to make them to press on in the battle. Here is David, and no doubt David has fought right beside his men. David is not sitting back in the camp letting everybody else fight. I'll tell you, David went right beside his men. David slew the Philistines and the Amalekites right beside his men. And I'll tell you, the Lord's on our side this morning. You're not fighting this battle by yourself. You're not alone in this battle. I'll tell you, the chief captain of the host, he's with us this morning. He's here. He's present in this building. He's here to encourage you by the word. Here these men come in. No doubt they're tired. No doubt they're wore out. They're needing a few days to rest up and get their strength back. Get their energy back. They've been out preaching, as we would say, and they've been out, had some hard campaigns on the battlefield. God have mercy. But as they become riding back, no doubt, they charged out when they left. But they're slowly making their way back in. Because they're tired. They need comfort. They need a home-cooked meal. They need something that's hot. They need the tender hand and the touch of a loving wife. They need to see their children. And here they come riding back. As they come over the hill into Ziklag, something begins to alarm them that something's wrong. As they can see the smoke, no doubt, rising through the horizon, how that the smoke is coming up. And somebody catches a glimpse that something's wrong in the camp. No doubt these men, as they are here and they are seeing this come up in their minds, oh my,
the battle immediately begins in their minds to what could be going on to cause this much smoke in the city of Ziklag. And as they see this come out, no doubt they are moved from this tiredness as their adrenaline begins to kick in now. And they begin to run in haste to find out what's going on. And as they come over the hill, they see that the city of Ziklag has been burnt. There's no house left. There's nothing left. Matter of fact, there's nobody around. As they come riding into the town, there's no children to run out to greet them. There's no wives to run out to greet them. Seems as though everything has been left desperate. No children playing. Nobody to bring them out food ready to eat. Nobody to take their horses from them. No servants. Nobody to help. Nobody's around. No doubt the men jump off their horse and they run into their dwelling place there. And maybe they rip back the sheepskin and run in there hollering for their wife saying, honey, where you at? But she's not there. No doubt it's a frantic moment. It's people now as their minds is running to overdrive. Is what could have happened? What could have took place? What did this? What's going on? Where's our family? Where's my children at? Where's everybody at? No doubt David runs down to his tent and tries to find his wives and so they're not there. His children's not there. Oh, how the devil loves to take that advantage. When you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, come on somebody, and you don't know what's fixing to take place, and there's a little bit of unknown, a question mark in your mind to what might be going on or what might be happening, and no doubt Satan is using this moment to attack their mind, to try to bring some type of fear and to squeeze their mind. These men are warriors. Men that has fought from sunup to sundown. Something about their home, something about their family has so affected them now. Where's the warrior at now? It begins to make their heart melt and cry as little children. Amen. Notice here they run to the camp trying to find an answer. But there is no answer. As though God is silent and they don't know what's going on. And besides pulling together, they go to pointing fingers at everybody. On whose fault could this be? Woo! Praise the Lord. Why, it's the preacher's fault. No, it's the deacon's fault. No, it's the lady's fault. No, it's the song. It's always somebody else's fault. But ours. And the whole reality of it ain't a person. It's always the devil. Here are these men as they now begin to come together. No doubt the meeting as they come back together after searching. No doubt they're in haste. I wonder what it must have been as they would look at one another and they're talking amongst one another. And oh, how the enemy comes in to try to divide these warriors one from another. Amen. Notice these are men that has fought beside David, but the enemy takes the advantage to drive a wedge in between the brothers. Amen. And here he's seeking to take the advantage to try to put something in their mind to put the worst thoughts and the worst feelings, to anoint them the worst that they know how, until finally they come together and they look at one another and they need somebody to blame. And as always, the pastor gets blamed. I mean, Brother David got blamed. And they begin to look at David and they say, David, this is your fault. This is your fault. If we wouldn't have been out running around the country fighting these battles and trying to fight for the God of Israel, we would have been here with our families. We not only left, we would have stayed here. Maybe this wouldn't have happened. They begin to point their finger at David. Think about this. Besides the zeal to want to bind together and come together in one unity, besides having the zeal to run and to get them back, they start blaming David for what happened. Amen, somebody. Now think about this. They're holding David responsible. You realize David's family is gone just like theirs is gone. David's children is gone just like theirs is gone. David's not the fault. But he looks like a good person to blame. David, this is your fault. This is your fault. This is why this happened. This wouldn't have happened if we'd only stayed home. David, we would have only done what I thought I should have done. When I left, I know something was going to happen. I had that weird feeling. The city's burned. Everybody's been taken captive. But these men don't know this. They don't know their family's been taken captive. So immediately they think in their minds they're dead. They're dead. Remember when David and his men would ride into a town, David didn't leave nothing. David didn't leave kids. David didn't leave women. David didn't leave men. David didn't leave nothing. He killed everything in the camp when they would move into a city. And now David and these men are thinking, they've done to us what we've done to them. You can see their mind, how their mind is just about to drive them crazy. Oh no, what could it be? My wife, my children, my infant, my baby. He was only 3 months old. She was only 2 months old. How can this be happening to me? How can I be going through this trouble? How can I be going through this trial? How can this be me? I pray. I read my Bible. I pay my tithes. I go to church. How can this happen to me? I'm trying to, just hang on. Preach, that is. Notice their spirits is now all riled up. They're mad! And they're looking at David. This is your fault. We trusted you. We trusted you. We trusted that you would lead us right. Oh my. We trusted that when we got the Holy Ghost, we'd enter into our flowery bed of ease. We trusted you, David. What has happened? What has happened? Look, friends. These ain't strangers. These men ain't strangers to David. These are men that David would lay his life down on the battlefield for any one of these people. David would give his life for them. And these are men that David loves. Men that he cares about. Men that he's fought beside. Men that have stood behind David and watched his back. Men he loves. Men that he has stood shoulder to shoulder with on the battlefield. Men that when David would need a drink, he would mention a well, and these men would fight 15 miles to the Philistines just to get their king a drink. They've turned on David. They're supposed to be brothers in the message. They're supposed to have the Holy Ghost. They're supposed to be, you know what I'm saying? They're supposed to be saved. They're supposed to have brotherly love and kindness and gentleness and meekness and temperance. But besides temperance, they got temper. Woo, somebody help me now. These men, their minds has got the best of them now. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Where if that spare of the moment, you flip your lid. And you say things you know you should not have ever said. Anybody know what I'm talking about besides me? Things you wished you could take. Anybody else in this building besides about 10 of you? You realize there's things that comes out of our mouth sometimes. We wish to God that we can reverse the clock and go back and take those things away. Let me tell you, you may not be able to take those words away, but I know a God this morning, if you put that sin in the sea of God's forgiveness, it'll never be remembered no more. These are his brethren. Men he's trusted. Men he cares about. And now they're lifting up their voice against him. Men that should have comforted David. But now they're blaming David. These men should have encouraged him. But now they're ready to pick up stones and kill him. Of course, you always got those spiritual ones in the camp, Brother Wes. I always knew there was something about that preacher. I always knew there was something. I heard him preach up there, and I always knew. If you're so spiritual, won't you bring it out before it happens? Oh, I always knew. I knew it's just the way he combed his head. It's the way he wore a suit. Come on, somebody. Besides that, I was on the way to church today, and I seen 6 birds sitting on a wire, and a 7th one flew down, and then all of a sudden I seen a cloud over here. It looked like Frosty the Snowman at 1 minute, and it looked like a heart the next minute, and it looked like a giant the next minute, and I knew there was something wrong with that man. Because we are so spiritual. We are so spiritual, brother. We are so spiritual. Oh my, birds landing on the wire. Let me tell you, you leave this building, look at the highline wires, you'll probably see a bunch more of them. It's because they're birds and they like to land there. Oh yeah, around our message, we got the super spiritual. I knew there was something wrong with that brother in the church. Oh, I knew he had some problems. I knew there was just something ain't right about him. I mean, I just knew, yeah, he was your best friend before he left. These men should have comforted David, but they're not offering words of comfort. They're not offering words of encouragement. They're wanting to kill him now. Can you imagine with the terror? It's so bad. The camp is so uproud. These men are so mad. They could kill David. You ever felt that way? If I could get my hands around your neck, I'd twist it till I popped off. I'm glad God ain't got your attitude. Because I've been headless many years ago. Notice this in the middle of this time, verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. You ever get there? Stress. Stress everywhere we look. For the people spake of stoning him because the soul of the men, they was grieved. And every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. David knew I cannot rely on positive words from nobody else. Nobody else. Come on, somebody. There ain't nobody around me to tell me I'm going to make it. There ain't nobody to pat me on the back. There ain't nobody to sit by me at the campfire and sing Kumbaya. Man, I thought we was going to have a weenie roast when we got back to the camp. Man. Brother, sister, the days of campfire kumbayas is over. It's a war today. There's going to be times that God's going to allow you to stand by yourself. There's going to be days that God wants you to know what it feels like when you feel like there ain't nobody else around. Let me tell you, that's the way our Lord felt when he went to Calvary. There wasn't nobody else to encourage him. There wasn't nobody else to pick him up. But let me tell you, he knew there was something he had to do. He was a son of God and there was a will to be fulfilled. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now notice the impact of this encouragement that David has. He's not relying on somebody to say something that's just going to spark him back. But everybody else around him seemingly has failed him. So David goes to encouraging himself. By prayer. By believing. By reading the word. By going to church. Amen. What if David would have listened to every other voice in the camp? What if Terry would listen to every other voice in the camp? What if David would listen to every voice that tells you, you might as well quit. You ain't worth 2 cents. And I say, amen, amen, but I'm a son of God anyway. David had to encourage himself because there was nobody else that would do it. If David would have listened to all these rest of these voices, people accusing him, if David would have relied upon his emotions, if David would have relied just upon the symptoms that he sees around him, David would have been defeated. But besides getting down and starting to confess, the same thing everybody else in the church is confessing. Woo. David encouraged himself in the Lord. When there wasn't nobody else to encourage him, David encouraged himself. David wasn't confessing his problems. David wasn't confessing what was me. David wasn't confessing nobody cares about me and nobody likes me. Come on, somebody. I don't understand. Don't say like nobody likes me. Let me tell you something, friends. If you want friends, you got to show yourself friendly. Amen. I may have said this here before. It's like I told church the other day. You can't expect for people to be friendly for you. Just as soon as the man says amen, you run as fast as you can. Can't out here to your car, get in and leave, and nobody gets the chance to shake your hand. But your testimony, well, nobody shook my hand today. I mean, nobody come up and try to encourage me. Nobody said, listen, we ain't chasing you across the parking lot to shake your hand. Amen. Amen, somebody. Brother, if you want friends, show yourself friendly. Woo. My goodness. Lord help me. You got me in this, you get me out of it. Notice David ain't saying, man, what a bad month. What a bad year. That's what some of us say. What a bad 10 years. He's not saying that. That's not even what he's doing. That's not even David's mindset. Listen. David has lost as much or more than all the rest of these men. But David's not looking to that. You see, you can focus on it and it'll constantly bring you down. If that's all you think about, it'll continue to bring you down. Sometimes you got to put it in the hand of God. Say, God, you know all about this. You know how to fix this, Lord. It ain't for me. It's for you today. Amen. Listen, David cried with the best of them. Don't get me wrong. David boo-hooed. David's a man. David's got made of flesh. David got down. But David knew when everything's falling apart, he knew who to turn to. He may have got down. He didn't stay that way. David started encouraging himself. The impact of encouragement has the ability to change the situation that you are in this morning. Well, what must I do? Well, what am I going to do? I think I'll just encourage myself. He looks around and there's nothing positive around him. There's nothing that he can rely on. David thought, my, what am I going to do? I guess I'll just start encouraging myself. Because I remember one time I was by myself like this before and a lion tried to come in. Amen. And there was nobody out there to help me. There wasn't nobody to encourage me. There wasn't nobody to fight beside me. I remember, I've been here before. I remember when a bear come in to try to get one of daddy's sheep and I had to fight him off by myself, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. And the first thing David does is, Abathar, bring me the ephod. I like it, don't you? Don't bring me a bucket full of tears. Come on, somebody. Don't bring me something to bury and drown my sorrows in. Bring me the ephod. I've got to find out, what does the Urim and Thummim got to say about my trouble? What does the word got to say about my problems? Abathar, high priest, bring me the ephod. And the priest brings the ephod down. Oh, I like this. Watch verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord. And David inquired of the Lord. And said, Lord, shall I give up? Shall I quit? Notice David's mindset. Shall I pursue? Oh, glory to God. That'll help you right there if you'll look into it. What shall I do? Shall I pursue? Look at the mindset of this man, Brother West. What should I do? Oh, God, what am I going to do? Shall I pursue? Not can I run, not should I hide, not shall I stick my head in the sand. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him. God always answers right in time, doesn't he? David's waiting. Lord, what should I do? No doubt David's waiting in anticipation. Lord, what should I do? What should I do? And he gets the answer. As the lights from the ephod begins to light up on the front and then on the back, that light begins to come on the scene. A present help during the time of trouble. Hallelujah! And the lights begin to flicker and they begin to move. And God speaks and says, pursue. Pursue, for thou shalt overtake them. Hallelujah! You're not just going to fight, you're going to win! Thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Oh, God help us. Look at this answer. God is letting David know, David, you run and pursue and I'll fight your battles. So David went, he and 600 men that were with him came to the brook of Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. Watch verse 10, you understand what he's talking about. And David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint and so discouraged and so low, they couldn't continue in battle no more. They were so faint they could not go over the brook of Besor. That brook means cheerful. They were so low, they couldn't cheer themselves up to pass over their problems to go down to get their families back. Good sakes alive. Whew, I found that this morning. I say, glory to God. 200 men are left behind. They have no strength. The Bible says they're faint. They're faint, which means they're weak. Their strength is gone. They're drained. They don't feel like, listen to this, they don't feel like they can go one more day. Hallelujah. And David didn't even act like it happened. David didn't even act like they even left off. David didn't stop and go, wait a minute, I had 600, but now I got 400. What if there's more of them than there are us? He didn't even consider it. David keeps marching on. He passes the brook. And here these men are left behind because they're faint. No doubt they're riding down through there and go, David, when are we going to get there? There's our kids in the car when we're going preaching. Are we there yet? Lord have mercy, how much further? We just left 5 minutes ago. You just started this journey last week. What's wrong with you? You just come into the message 2 years ago. Men's been around this thing for 25 years and here you are ready to quit. And David pursued him and those 400 men, for 200 abode behind. They were so faint they could not go over the brook. Verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field. It's amazing when you get in the middle of a trial what you find. And they found an Egyptian in the field and they brought him to David and gave him bread and he did eat and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs, two clusters of raisins. Ugh, you can have mine. And when they had eaten, his spirit came again. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. So here they find an Egyptian that has been left behind by his master. His master just so happens to be the Amalekites. Isn't it amazing on how the devil does his children? After he gets done using them and allowing them to fight for him, he leaves them behind starving half to death. Woo! Brother, he'll get you hung up on drugs and alcohol, all kinds of things in the world. And when he gets done with you, he leaves you for dead. Young people, he only uses you until he gets done with you. And then he leaves you for dead. And he won't even show up at your funeral. That's the kind of devil that he is. He cares nothing about you. Three days and three nights, no food. If David don't find this man is as good as dead. But David found him. Glory to God. And David said unto him, now notice what happens is, this man begins to eat, and David said unto him, verse 13, to whom do you belong anyway? And where did you come from? And he said, I'm just a teenager from Egypt. I'm a servant to the Amalekite. My master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. Now watch. He's already eaten, and he's already drunk, and now he's feeling better. And his strength begins to come back. And now he gets Pentecostal. And he gets that eye disease on how good he is. And isn't it amazing? As we always say, the older we get, the better we was. You ever been around people like that? Well, I used to be, bless God, I used to do this and I used to do that and I used to do that. But you ain't there no more. But we are going back. Now watch as he starts feeling better. He starts bragging. And I made an invasion. I mean, we made an invasion. We didn't just fight. We invaded. Like invading the USA. We invaded. Upon the south of Cherethites and upon the coast which belonged to Judah. And upon the south of Caleb. And I'm going to tell you right now. Watch this Pentecostal anointing. We went down to Ziglag. We burned it to the ground. And now he's laughing. And he looks around. Ain't nobody else laughing but him. Oh, tough crowd. And we took them hostage. And I'm going to tell you right now. We grabbed them by the hair. We drug them out of there by the hair of the head. We slapped them kids around like they wasn't nothing. Oh, really? Drink some more. Go ahead. How you feeling? Tell us, what else did you do to him? And what he don't know is the whole time, David's righteous indignation is riling up. Amen. I know what you do. Tell you right now, those babies, they screamed and they cried. We kept them from their mothers. We didn't let them around their mothers. We don't care. We didn't care if we hurt children. We didn't care what happened to them. Can you look in David's eyes? David's eyes. The blood streaks begin to run. Ooh, Lord have mercy, wouldn't you let have been a fly on the tent? Man, you should have seen me. I mean us. You should have seen the way I done it. You should have seen the way I fought. I fought like the bravest man there was. I was the biggest one out there. I'm going to tell you right now, we whooped them in the south. We whooped them up and down the coast, man. We whooped everybody. We went down to Judah. We showed Judah. We let them know who the boss was around here. And while we was on the coast, we went ahead and sat back in the shade along the beach and got little drinks with umbrellas in them and just sat back and sucked on them a while. We had a good time. But there ain't no revival like what we had down at Ziglag. Ooh, my. Man, we took those people. Oh, my, you should have seen me. I was great. I mean, I was wonderful. We didn't leave nothing. We didn't leave no house. We didn't leave no stone unturned. We didn't leave nothing. There must have been something about the look on David's face. He couldn't take it anymore. David's face starts turning red. And he looks at him going, you with me, ain't you? You understand what I'm telling you, how good we was, don't you? Well, who are you anyway? I mean, Jesus I know. And Paul I know. But who are you? Well, who are you anyway? I'm David. Ah!
me, don't kill me, don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Whatever I gotta do, please don't kill me. I didn't do nothing. I sat behind everybody else. I was so far back in the back, nobody even hardly knew I was there. Isn't it amazing how the devil begins to turn his tune when a man of authority shows up? David said unto him, can you bring me down to this legion of devils? I mean, to this company. You know what he's saying, don't you? Can you take me to the enemy's camp? Because the enemy's camp has got some things I need to bring back. And the man said, swear unto me. Swear unto me by my God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master. He don't want to go back to serve that old master again after telling him to hide out. I'll bring you down to this company then. I'm going to take you down there. But I don't want my master to see me. I mean, whatever I got to hide behind, because I know the way the devil done me last time, it'll be worse this time. Please, I mean, I'll go anywhere, do anything, but don't you take me back down there to hell. This man has been left for dead, left to die, and he's still scared he might be brought back. Now David comes. No doubt they crawl up over the hill, and they start piercing down through there to see what they can find. And what they see will blow your mind. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread upon all the earth. History tells us this ain't just a handful of men. This has been a whole company of men has invaded Ziklag. And now they have come together, and hell was throwing themselves a party. I'm going to say it again. Because of what happened in their lives, hell was having a party. And the devil had little birthday party hats and everything going on, and they were singing and shouting and dancing and glorifying the devil. But oh, they were spread upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And they had a ball. But sister, I want you to understand, they're just not a little bit happy. They're thrilled that they have come back against David. Because every time they fight David, they always lose. Oh, what God has in store. David carried quite a name amongst the Philistines and the Amalekites. And everybody knew that David had the ability to make war. They knew that they had no chance fighting against David. So when David showed up, just the very mention of David's name scared people half to death. They'd almost faint. David. Woo, boom. So you can imagine, as the watchman on the outer side begins to call down to the rest of them, David's coming. Brother, you talking about bringing a party to an abrupt end. They went from shouting to crying. They went from dancing to praying. Phew. David's coming! Can you hear me? Take that party head off. David's coming. David. David who? David. Dummy. Duh. David. David's coming. That's what I'm trying to tell you. David's coming. I can imagine. Bad news travels fast now. I can imagine it covers the whole company just in a few minutes. David's coming. And now besides putting fear and terror on everybody else, now David's tormenting the tormentor. David's coming to the camp to take back everything you've stolen. I love verse 17. I got to hurry. And David smote them from the twilight even until the evening, brother, of the next day. Friend, that is a long battle. And that's a long whooping to take. But when there's a lot of devils, it just takes a long time. Goodness, he put it right there in my mind and I wouldn't say it. We come to altar and expect God to do something in 2 seconds. And he can. But there's sometimes we got to have faith day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out. Abraham had to wait 25 years, brother and sister. You might as well face it. There's going to be times we have to pray and persevere in faith. Men against all these Amalekites. Brother, I bet if you've been watching from the side, it would have looked like a dust storm swamping these men over. These men got under the spirit of war and under the spirit of fighting and slaying the enemy. And man, I mean, cancer come up and they slayed them. And diabetes come up and they slayed them. And tuberculosis come up and they slayed it. They're not just settling. Come on, somebody. They're not giving in. Hallelujah. We ain't settling. We ain't giving in. We ain't giving up. We are persevering today. From the evening of the next day, they escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels. I woke up just before daylight this morning. I could almost see in my mind as these young men trying to get on these cantankerous camels and ride out of there in haste. There ain't nothing more cantankerous than an old camel trying to get him up, trying to get him to run, trying to get him to do something. And these men are going, David's coming, hurry! He'll kill me and you both, you dumb camel. And they run over the hill. Verse 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. The word rescue means to save, to take away, to snatch away, to deliver from enemies, to deliver from trouble, to deliver from death, to deliver from sin and guilt. Brother, when he saved you and forgave you of your sin, he didn't leave the guilt with it. He forgave you the guilt. There's so many people, they know they've been forgiven of the sin, but they allow that old devil of guilt to just wear them out day in and day out. And I'm telling you, when he forgive you one, he forgive them at all. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Brother, that's what God did for me one day. He saw me in the enemy's camp. And he come riding in where I was at. And he rescued me. Verse 19, there was nothing lack of them, neither great nor small. Neither sons nor daughters. Neither spoil nor anything that they have taken to them. David recovered. Oh, I want you to notice David did exactly what the word said he was going to do. The word said there's going to be a bride without spot or wrinkle, and I say amen. The bride said, but the word said there's going to be a bride that's going to take a body change, and I say amen. Those that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And the word's going to happen just exactly the way he said it. David, what would have happened if he not encouraged himself? What if David would have got down like everybody else? I guarantee this story would have had a different ending than what it does. Amen? What about you today, David? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? When the enemy comes against you, how are you going to handle it? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. And David said, I can either sing that or victory is mine. Victory is mine. But David, you don't know how big my problem is. You don't know how big my God is. Brother and sister, listen to me. There's times we need encouragement. There's things that we go through in our lives. There's times that we must encourage ourselves. And the impact of that encouragement is David rescued his wives. Do you see that? Remember in the book of Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist was a great man of God. But you remember, he got put down in the jail that time. Remember? And but when you get down, the devil really likes to pour it on you, Brother Bram said. He was locked up for the cause of Christ, preaching the gospel. He's fixing to take him to the chop block and take his head off. A couple of disciples come down to where he was. Brother Bram said this. John, they cast him in prison. That foul woman, he sat back there and began to get moody. Woo-hoo. And I believe, remember one of them, his eagle eye got filmed over in jail. He sent some of his disciples. Again, forgetting beatitude. John, his eagle truly, his had filmed over and he become weary. Again, getting the spirit, John, the prophet of John was kindly filmed over. He had the spirit of Elijah. Elijah had a breakdown when he was under the juniper tree. Amen. John had a breakdown in prison. Same spirit. He was in the high-pitched prophet. Them nerves was on the edge. And this eagle eye got filmed over. Can you see where I'm? Can't you see if I've been wrong? Ask him. Watch this. I want you to go to Jesus and ask him. Or do we look for another? And Jesus never sent him away. I like this right here. Notice this. Are you the one? Or should we look for another? Are you the one or should we look for another? Jesus never sent him a book on how to have patience while you're in jail. That's what denominations try to do. They try to give you psychology books. 5 ways on how to be encouraged. 10 ways on how to stop lying. I don't like it. Don't care. I'm preaching. 15 ways on how to eat cornflakes. 20 ways on how to stand on your head. 116 million ways to have a nice day. Well, that's going to be a long book. Denominational trash. Encourage yourself in the Lord. God has gave, amen! God gave us a book full of promises that tell us how to react. John the Baptist was discouraged. He's in prison. His nerves was on end. He's weary. He's tired. He's locked up. He's in a bad mood. Can you identify? John knew Jesus was the Lamb of God. John knew him. He baptized Jesus. He saw the dove descend out of heaven. He heard the voice. John even said, I'm unworthy to even latch his shoes. But now he's in prison. He's discouraged. And John sent 2 disciples. He said, I want you to go to ask Jesus. I want you to ask him. Now watch this man in this weary state. Ask him if I made a mistake. Ask him if I made a mistake. Ask him if he's the one or is there somebody else coming. Can you imagine these 2 disciples after seeing what Jesus has been doing? So the disciples follow what John asked. They go find Jesus. They said, Lord, John wants to ask you something. What is it? Well, now this is John. This ain't me asking this. Just to let you know. He wants to know if you're the one or should we look for another. Now what's the impact of this encourager? You go back and tell John. You tell John the blind is reading their Bibles today. You tell John that the lame man is shouting in the house of God. You tell John that the poor is getting preached to. You tell John that the dead is being raised. You go tell John that. About that time, those 2 disciples turned as they're walking over the hill. Jesus said, hey, wait! I want you to tell John this. There's not a greater man born among women greater than John the Baptist. Yes, Lord, we'll tell him! Down to the prison they went and they found John sitting down there. No doubt his head is down, he's weary, he's discouraged, his nerves is on end. And John says, well, what'd he say? Well, John, he told me to tell you. This is him now telling me to tell you. This ain't me. But he told me to tell you that the blind is reading their Bibles. And the lame is shouting in the church. and the poor is getting the gospel preached to them. And John, he told me to tell you that the dead is being raised up. John says, glory to God, hallelujah! But John, that ain't all. That ain't all, John. Watch this encourager. Watch this encourager. John, that's not all. He also told us to tell you, there's not a greater man born of a woman greater than the prophet John. Aren't you thankful? Jesus is our encourager. Do you believe that? But let's think about it. There's times we need encouraged. So when Jesus had died, rose again, he sent the Spirit back on the day of Pentecost. And John says like this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. The Comforter, which is, the word Comforter means a helper, which means an encourager. John didn't have to have, oh my, think about this. John had to have an outward leader to be able to come and tell them something outwardly. But now God has gave us an inward encourager. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father has sent in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It's a comforter. It's an encourager that reminds you what the Word says. When you get down, it reminds you what the Word says. When you're ready to give up, it reminds you what the Word says. The impact of an encourager. Let me close with this. As our music players come. Two men that has worked for God. Done all kinds of things for God. They've stood there. They've had their fingers pointed in their face and tell them, you ain't nothing but the seed of the devil. Men that have stood. Now somehow, these two men has been taken and put in a Philippine jail. They're in a Philippine jail. And Brother Ram said, in this jail where Paul and Silas was at, they was actually locked in the stocks. And Brother Ram said, that means their hands and their neck and their legs was tied together. You ever seen one? And they was put into the stock. And they was sitting there and had nowhere else to go, beat and locked down. Woo, preach Brother David. There ain't no camp meeting atmosphere in there. There ain't nobody to tell you, attaboy, you're going to be able to make it. There ain't nobody to encourage them. Come on, somebody. There ain't no singing in there. There ain't no preaching in there. Amen. They're stuck. They've been beat. For the cause of Christ, they've been beat. Silas looks over at Paul and says, we are in a mess. Man, I wish I'd missed this missionary trip this time, don't you? That's what we say. Paul looked over at Silas and said, man, we've got to do something. What in the world are we going to do? And the devil says, just have a pity party for yourself. Cry. That always helps. Don't it? Or worry. Worry, just it's going to solve everything. If you just worry yourself to death, that'll solve everything. Just worry. You'll be all right. And Brother Ram says, Paul looked over at Silas. Yes, sir. See, you know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to start singing. Say that again, Paul. There's blood in my ear. Just a second. Let me hear what you said here. What'd you say we ought to do? We ought to sing. It almost sounded like, did you say cry? No, I said sing. That's what I thought you said. Give me that G chord for Jesus. Oh, you'll get it tomorrow. Going down the road, it's an Arkansas joke. You'll get it. But Paul, you realize we're locked down, beat down, tied up, tangled up. What are we going to do? I think we ought to sing. I mean, we can't dance. We might as well sing. How's that? How's that do? like that. What are we going to sing? I don't know. Just what's one of your favorites? There are people almost everywhere. I remember that one. Paul, I remember that one. That is a good one. What did Paul say? We ought to just sit here, cry, feel sorry for ourselves, and wish what we could have done something different. Man, I wish I would never even serve God. I wish I'd never even started this battle. I'm glad these men didn't have this attitude. Because when I get down, my comforter points me back to Paul and Silas. With the fire that fell that day at Pentecost, it set your soul aflame. It is burning now. Go ahead, Paul. You almost got it. You almost got it. Within my heart, oh glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. And about that time, did you feel that? Did you feel that? They didn't run. I do. Sing it again, Paul. Sing it again. Sing it again. Well, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Now 2.2. Well, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. About that time, bigger, 4.4. The original Jailhouse Rock. Glory to God, hallelujah! Paul, you got anything else on your heart? I do. Well, the devil don't like no singing going on around here. Well, the devil don't like no singing going on around here. But I don't care what the devil don't like. I'm going to sing about God tonight. The devil don't like no singing going on around here. And Brother Bram said it was a miracle. Because the west wall fell outward. And the east wall fell outward. If it would have fell in, it would have killed Paul and Silas. But when God sends deliverance down your way, He's going to make sure there ain't one hair on your head that is hurt. He knows how to deliver us. Brother Ramsey said, when that trembler hit, it broke loose the stocks and the bonds that had them bound. Can you imagine as they stood up going, whew, man, what a good song, man. About that time the jailer woke up and he seen the prison doors had opened. Glory to God. He pulls his sword out trying to kill himself. And Paul says, wait a minute. Don't do that. Don't you do that. In the middle of their trial, Paul leads a man to Christ. Brother, that's heavy. I'm here to tell you, that's heavy. When it seemed like everything has went wrong and there's no way out, Paul finds a man who needs Jesus Christ, and he took this man down and he took his family down and he buried him in the name of Jesus Christ and won a soul to the kingdom of God. You may not realize while you're going through it, there may be a seed down there that needs deliverance beside you. Can you imagine Paul and Silas in prison for the jailkeeper? For the jailkeeper. This trial, this place they're at. Come on, somebody. You may not be know why you're working that job. There may be one seed of God there that God sent you after. You may not know why you're going through something or where you're at and what you're doing, but God may have somebody there He wants you to witness to. Brother, this world's hurting. They need somebody to tell them about God. If we ain't careful, we get so block-minded that it's just our church and our people and our message and we're the only ones. Hey, you got here somehow. It's your responsibility to go outside these doors to go out, get two more, bring them in. God saves them, puts them full of the Holy Ghost. They go out, they get two more, and they bring them out. They go out and get two more. That's our responsibility. Of course, once we arrive, we're not worried about anybody else. Hey, listen, I put me 1,000 miles in my vehicle to make sure somebody else knows about this God that I serve. What about you? We try to worry about saving people plumb over on the other side of the world. We ain't even witnessed our neighbors. Preach, Brother David. Woo. God help you and I. We need him, friends. And because the two men got in a spirit in a prison, the impact of an encourager set them free. You don't realize sometimes, just as last night before I got home, people had already begun to text me, tell me how much they enjoyed the service. And I thought they only had any idea what I'm preaching on in the morning. The impact of an encourager. Wake up this morning, people calling, people texting, people sending cards. I appreciate it. It's because of the encouragement. Don't you realize that's your responsibility? That's every one of our responsibilities. We're here as encouragers. If you got the Holy Ghost, you're an encourager. Remind them of what he's done. Because the same God that did it for you can do it for somebody else. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Oh, hallelujah. He's in the house. Death has to flee. Brother Harry, won't you sing it for us? I mean, don't halfway sing it. Sing it like you mean it this time. How many's glad you was allowed to come to the house of God this weekend? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's sing with our brother now. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Little girl was lying there. People all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only suffering. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me. All the world to see. Shines in me.
Come by my way one day. Let me tell you something, friends. That's just not one time in my life. I need that encourager every day. If I look at my problems, look at my trials, everything that goes wrong, you won't even want to serve God another minute. Thank God I got something inside of me. That when the devil says, give up, he says, you know better than that. You're a son of God, full of the Holy Ghost. Remember, I said he took two men, Paul and Silas, and he shook the world over. Brother, what can he do with the whole many-member body called the bride? What can he do with us? Praise God. Can we worship him just for a minute before we go? Oh, I think he deserves it, don't you?
Was filled with his praise.
Hallelujah.
One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to born of a virgin. Dwelt among men, my example is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away.
Sing it this time. I want you to think about what he done for you personally. The encourager come by your way this weekend. And because of what he did, he's going to allow you to leave this building today with victory in your heart, with the word of God in your mouth, with an anointing upon your body. Hallelujah. Brother Eric. Hallelujah.
One day they led him
up
Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he.
Oh, yes, he is.
Living, he loved me.
Sing it out.
Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Glorious day.
Oh!
that you are a prisoner in your mind. Let me tell you what you gotta do. Reach out and play. Defy the devil's chains. Defy the chains. And they will begin to drop off and fall away.
Listen, devil. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, there's just. Sing it to him, church. Hallelujah. Oh, about that name. You're mine. He is mine. Oh, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus. Just something about that name. Sing it again, church. Sing it like you mean it. Oh, Jesus. Listen to that name. Jesus. Jesus. There's just. It's just something.
Yes, after. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All in the home. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Jesus.
We love you, Father.
Jesus, we call the name.
You're our healer. You're our healer. You're our scapegoat. Oh, God, you're my light in the middle of the darkness. You're my friend that sticks closer than a brother. You're the rays of sun on a cloudy day. Lord Jesus, you're the dew that falls in the morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Kings and kingdoms.
Guess what's going to happen to
them?
Every woman that I love
they're gonna pass away.
Get into Christ today.
There's just something,
oh, about
I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart.
Tell him now how you feel.
You are my end.
If he really is, tell him now.
Amen. I see. I love you.
The Lord.
I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I sing.
River that flows from deep.
Thank you.